Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Emcure Pharmaceuticals Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Piyush Nahar, EVP Corporate Strategy and Development from Emcure Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sejal. Good afternoon, everyone. Earlier today, we released our financials for the fourth quarter of fiscal 2025, along with our press release. These are also posted on our website. We hope all of you had a chance to review it. I'd like to bring to everyone's notice that this call is being recorded, and the recording and transcript will be available on our website. To discuss the company's performance and outlook, we have on the call our Group CEO, Mr. Satish Mehta, our CFO, Tajuddin Shaikh, our Executive Director, Namita Thapar, Executive Director, Samit Mehta, and President, Corporate Development, Strategy and Finance, Vikas Thapar. Before we begin, I want to remind everyone about the safe harbor related to today's investor call. Today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements, which must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. At the end of the call, if you have any queries remaining unanswered, please feel free to contact us. I will now request Mr. Satish Mehta to provide the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Piyush. This is Satish Mehta, Group CEO. Good afternoon to all of you. It's a pleasure and honor to speak to you while I'm speaking on the annual results for the year FY25. You have seen the results. 4Q25 revenues grew 19.5%, led by 25% growth in domestic business and 16% in the international business. Ended in FY25 with a top-line growth of 18.5% and margins of 18.6%, and this is very much in line with the guidance we have given earlier. I must say that FY25 has been a transformational year with multiple milestones about which I'll speak as we go along. We got listed on stock exchange with extremely strong response from the investor community, and which means a lot to all of us. In domestic market, we successfully integrated the Sanofi cardio business into our portfolio. We sharpened our focus on derma segment with launch of our subsidiary, Emcutix. We expanded our women health portfolio. We entered into OTC segment with product range under Earth and Galette brands. In international markets, we successfully expanded our presence in Canada with integration of Mantra subsidiary. Brief on key highlights of the quarter and year. Let me focus on domestic market. In Q4, we had a strong performance from our domestic business. It is led by women health and cardio and aided by derma. I am very happy to inform that as far as the organic growth for the quarter is concerned, it is 10%, and if we exclude FCM, which went off patent, then the growth is 12%. Happy to inform the restructuring of our cardio-diabetes business is complete, and we saw a return to normalization during the quarter. We expect this restructuring to drive growth going forward. Key brands saw double-digit growth in the quarter, as in Orofer XT, Maxtra, Fos, Proxim, Ofpen, Vilda, Tenectase, and Isomex. All these key brands saw strong double-digit growth in the quarter which has ended. As I have been telling all along, Emcure's strength is its differentiated portfolio, which again helped our 4Q growth and will drive faster-than-industry growth in the current year. Let me now focus on some of the key portfolio expansions that we are doing as far as domestic market is concerned. In women health, we launched a portfolio of products in menopause and PCOS segment. first time offering doctors and patients a comprehensive portfolio to address the unmet needs in these segments. I'm referring to menopause and PCOS. We have also in the process of deepening our presence in gynecology segment with further launches in FY 2026. Our derma subsidiary launched its first of differentiated products like PRX Plus and Flawlizo. Further pipeline of products which will augment our basket of products over the next 12 months, including some of the first launches that we'll be doing through Emcutix, our derma division. I'm also very happy to say that derma division chief, who has come with a background at Galderma, because of his deep understanding in the derma business, we are also getting a lot of collaboration opportunities at which we are looking. Personally, I'm very excited about the derma business. I'm also very happy to inform that our ready-to-use ophthalmic grade bevacizumab for wet AMD with a patented technology is in phase III. Is in phase III, and we expect in the current financial year to launch this particular product, which will be a foray in our ophthalmic segment. This is a product of its kind, and we are very bullish about this particular product, which is coming from our Genova subsidiary, which is dealing in biologics. We have also filed for approval R-asparaginase in oncology, which will be the first time the product will be available in India. Let me take a few seconds to talk about R-asparaginase. The R-asparaginase that we have currently is imported from China, and it is coming from the natural sources. As far as this particular product is concerned, this has been made in-house. It is recombinant. To that extent, batch after batch, the quality is guaranteed, and it should be extremely useful to patients who are suffering from blood cancer. I'm also happy to inform that we are now well on track to be in the first wave of launches for post-expiry for semaglutide. As far as semaglutide is concerned, we are absolutely on track, and we'll be in the first wave of launches post-expiration of this particular product. Having spoken about the domestic business, now let me now turn my attention to international market, which have shown strong growth in the current year. The rest of the market grew by 27% in FY 2024. Rest of the market, that means the emerging market grew by 27% in FY 2024. FY 2026 should also see strong growth by traction in our differentiated portfolio, especially in biosimilars and amphotericin B. Amphotericin B going forward, as I also mentioned last time, should be going forward a game changer for us in the emerging markets. As far as Canada is concerned, it continues to outperform. In FY 2024, the growth was 35%, including full year Mantra performance. Base business continues to grow healthy double digits. Base business continues to grow healthy double digits. We have a very healthy pipeline, and we expect this business to continue to see strong performance going ahead. Now let me focus on European Union. As I told some time back, we got approval for amphotericin B liposomal for the European market, and I'm very happy to inform my shareholders and you analysts that this is the first generic to get approval in the European Union. It's a very big achievement. It's a very complicated product, complex molecule, complex injectable, and this is the first approval, generic approval in the European market. We also acquired Manx Healthcare portfolio. This will help us to expand our product range, basket of products that we offer in U.K., and will give us a very strong pipeline going forward. We expect growth of European Union to be driven by amphotericin B and Manx portfolio. I'm also happy to say that as Europe is concerned, we also have the way I mentioned about Canada, a fairly robust product pipeline, which should also get approved in due course of time. With near-term product pipeline intact, we have recently formed a scientific advisory committee, which includes globally reputed scientists to help develop our long-term portfolio strategy, And in the current month itself, we had a meeting in New Jersey of the scientific advisory committee. And there, you know, we have got absolutely world-class scientists who are part of the scientific advisory committee. Our focus area is going to be the four areas, you know, which I would enumerate. One is the complex injectables. Second is biosimilars. And the third is new drug delivery routes for existing molecules targeting better efficacy or new indication. The key focus area will be CNS and derma. And we will also be working on ADC, antibody drug conjugates. Now, having spoken about various geographies, I spoke about domestic business, I spoke about Canada, I spoke about emerging markets, I also gave you my outlook, you know, as far as what we have done in Europe. Now, let me focus as far as FY25-26 is concerned, the outlook. Key focus area will be on execution. I am a strong believer on execution because everyone has strategies, but the key to success is execution. And also the focus will be on improving our profitability. We expect to see top line growth of 13% to 14% in FY26 with around 150 BPS margin improvement, which will happen over the course of the year. I know that the bottom line is required to be improved, and my entire team, entire management team is committed to work in that direction. I would also like to highlight that everyone is speaking about the US tariff and pharma pricing. As you know, that while listing the company, before listing the company, we demerged our American business. To that extent, we are largely insulated from the vagaries of the US market. And post our demerger, the exposure to US is less than 3%. I mean, I must say that it has been a year since Emcure got listed on stock exchange. From a small family, strong family, we have grown into a larger family of investors. We have our dreams and our own responsibilities. For me, it is Emcure 2, which is a new company. I started this company. I'm a founder member. Till we got listed, it was Emcure 1. Now it is Emcure 2. It's a new company. And we are obviously focusing on higher growth with better margins and much, much higher ROC target. At Emcure, we have charted a 5-year roadmap in which 25-26 will be our first year of that vision. We hope to have a reasonably strong year ahead of us with many challenges that will be announced at an appropriate time. I can only tell you that we at Emcure are very excited with the opportunities lying ahead of us and fully focused on building a strong team to execute whatever opportunities are there. And India stands out well in global context, and Emcure looks ready to seize the opportunity as far as the pharma is concerned, and with focus on domestic, emerging markets, Europe and Canada, we are well poised to take the opportunities, you know, which will come our way. We hope to keep reporting stronger and better numbers as we go along year after year, and we would also like you to judge Emcure performance on annual basis rather than every quarter. All I can say while signing off, that best of Emcure is yet to come, and we are all committed, my team member of entire Emcure is committed to give great value to the shareholders. With that, I would turn to Taj.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I will take you through some of the key financial highlights for the fourth quarter, 4Q25 and full year FY25. The fourth quarter highlights. Revenue from operations for the quarter grew by 19.5% year-over-year to 2,116 crores, up from 1,771 crores in Q4 FY24. The domestic business grew strongly by 25% year-over-year to 929 crores, driven by early benefits from division restructuring and the addition of Sanofi's portfolio, despite a decline in FCM. Excluding Sanofi, domestic growth was around 10% year-over-year, and excluding FCM, impact was 12%. International markets maintained solid momentum, growing 16% year-over-year to 1,187 crores, led by rest of the world's markets and a strong presence in Canada and Europe. ROW markets grew impressively by 39% year-over-year to 481 crores, with strong contributions from both ARV and non-ARV portfolios. Canada reported a 6.1% growth to 310 crores. Europe saw a modest growth of 2% year-over-year, reaching 396 crores. Gross margins for the quarter stood at 57.8%, down from 62.1% in quarter 4 of FY24, impacted by changes in business and product mix. EBITDA, excluding other income, grew 25.2% year-over-year to 390 crores, with EBITDA margins at 18.4%, supported by operating leverage and productivity gains, even amid low gross margins. Depreciation and amortization was flat quarter-over-quarter at 97 crores. Finance cost was 39 crores, reflecting lower borrowings. QOQ cost is higher due to one-time cost of 10 crores related to early payment. The effective tax rate stood at around 25%. Profit after tax came in at 197 crores, showing strong growth of 63% year-over-year. Now I'll talk about the full year FY25 highlights. Revenue from operations grew 19% year-over-year to 7,896 crores. The domestic business grew 16.4% to 3,660 crores, supported by the Sanofi portfolio. Ex-FCM and ex-Sanofi domestic growth was around 8 to 9%. International markets grew 20% to 4,236 crores, with strong performance from Canada and emerging markets. Canada grew to 1,252 crores, benefiting from robust base business performance and the Mantra acquisition. ROW markets rose 28% to 1,510 crores, with sustained growth in both ARV and non-ARV segments. Europe grew at 4% to 1,474 crores, solidifying its base. Gross margins for the year were at 60.1%, a decline from 62.8% in FY24, primarily due to Sanofi and ARV product mix. EBITDA, excluding other income, grew 19.4% year-over-year to 1,469 crores, with EBITDA margins remaining stable, aided by operational efficiency gains. Depreciation and amortization rose to 384 crores from 312 crores in FY24, owing to Mantra acquisition and commissioning of a few plants. Finance cost for the year stood at 176 crores, reflecting lower borrowing levels, inclusive of AS116 and Mantra-related costs. The effective tax rate for FY25 was 27%. PAT stood at 707 crores, a growth of 34.1% year-over-year. The board has recommended a dividend of Rs. 3 per share. On the balance sheet side, net debt was reduced to 488 crores, a significant improvement from 1,558 crores in FY24. Our working capital days remain stable at approximately 98 days. With that, I'll now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amlan Jyoti from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on the numbers. My first question is regarding the margin expansion that you said in FY26 of around 150 bps. Could you please clarify how do you plan to achieve this next year?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination of factors. Obviously, we have operating leverage as the business continues to scale, higher productivity from some of the recently hired field force, and in particular, some of the newer divisions. Of course, some of the restructuring we did vis-a-vis the cardio-diabetic division and the Sanofi portfolio, along with our own cardio products, will also lead to some ongoing synergies. And also, it's going to be driven by some of the mix of some of the newer product launches, which will bring in better gross margin profile.
As we highlighted, you know, in the current year, we had a healthy mix of ARV business, but obviously that comes with a slightly lower gross margin profile. So as some of the faster parts of the international business, the non-ARV components in the emerging markets, Canada and Europe, continue to scale, that'll also drive margin expansion on the gross margin side as well. So I think a combination of these efforts, which the management team is very focused on, is what's going to drive that 150 basis points expansion that we have emphasized for next year.
Thank you, sir. So regarding the restructuring that you were talking about, has this been completed or obviously restructuring related costs for a couple of more quarters ahead?
Yeah, no, the restructuring is completed. There was no cost as such. It was more a realignment of the field force and the divisions so that we can basically offer a wider basket of portfolio consisting of both Emcure's products and some of the Sanofi brands. And so we think that with that sort of increased focus, what will happen hopefully is that we will see better uptake in terms of the entire basket being offered, and that should lead to continued growth and productivity from that field force.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That answers my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. So can you broadly divide the 13-14% year-on-year top-line guidance across domestic and international?
Yeah, so I think for what we'll be looking at, the domestic, the target is to grow 200 basis points higher than the industry. So that will be about your low double digits type of growth. I think international is where we're expecting more around a mid-teens type of growth.
Understood. And there, Piyush, would it be fair to say that the Orofer FCM LOE impact is now completely behind us?
So there is still some impact, as I think in the readout also, there is still about a 1 to 2% impact in the quarter. But I think that we'll be able to manage it out. So even in this quarter, if you look at it, ex FCM, we grew at 12%, including FCM, the growth was 10%. Namita, if you want to add on that.
In fact, in the FCM, the prices have stabilized and we're also seeing market share increases because there was an influx of small players and quite a few of them have exited at this point. So FCM will now have an upside.
Got it. The other question was on Sanofi. Post the restructuring, can you talk a bit about what has changed in the business? You touched upon it briefly in your opening remarks. But also if you could quantify it in the sense when you had acquired it, the sales were broadly around 500 crores. Then there was this restructuring over the past 6-7 months. So firstly, what were Sanofi's sales in FY25? And secondly, what is your expectation from the portfolio given all the changes?
So I think this year Sanofi's sales would have been about 440-450 crores. There was also impact. What we had is because there were few products which are in shortages. So that impacted us. I think going forward, Namita, if you can highlight what we're looking at.
So in Sanofi, for a large period of time, they had not been spending promotional expenses on some of their legacy and key products like Cardis. And so what we have done is we've taken a lot of our cardiologist KOL and invested heavily in education activities, scientific meetings, which was not done for several years on Cardis. The second thing is we've done cross-pollination as we had committed, which is some of our Emcure strong cardio portfolio, cardio products. We have now shifted to that team so that there is that cross-learning and cross-pollination of products, as well as we have added reps in that team and added headquarters in that team. So overall, we started off by spending more and then shifted some of our brands and then added reps and territory. So it's been a very calibrated and structured approach towards the Sanofi project initiative.
On that front, Namita, if you can talk about how quickly should we get back to normalized growth in the Sanofi business, or it's already done given that you spoke about restructuring having been completed. should we expect a pretty strong growth right from the current quarter, the first quarter of FY26?
I think Piyush has already explained about how when you compare Q4 to Q3, you already saw that growth in domestic business, which was primarily because of the restructuring efforts. And then he also gave guidance for the following year, where we said we'll be 200 points over the market. So I think it's fair to say that these two numbers are representative of all the efforts that we've put in, and let's hope for the best.
Got it. And maybe one final question before I come back in the queue. A clarification on, firstly, the margin guidance. You spoke about 150 basis points over the course of the year. So just wanted to clarify, if you can clarify whether this is a full year guidance or the exit run rate.
No, this will be a full year guidance.
Got it. And on gross margins, Piyush, quite low both sequentially as well as year on year in this quarter. Can you help explain the reasons for the same?
This is largely driven by a mix, right? So if you look at sequentially, a big part is the Sanofi and some of the higher ARV sales. Sequentially, I think it's more the product mix, especially we have on the international side.
So if I can just chime in. So year over year, I think it's about a 250 basis points reduced GC compared to the prior year over year quarter. And like you said, that's predominantly driven by the Sanofi and ARV component being relatively higher this year vis-a-vis last year. The base business gross margins are actually up slightly compared to prior year Q4. And on a sequential basis, he's right, it's more of a mix of domestic versus international, some of the timing aspects of that. And so I think, you know, in terms of the gross margin profile of the business, other than some of these mix issues, we feel very good about where the business is. And so, like I said, the pipeline is going to continue to drive that margin upwards.
Sorry to harp on this. You spoke about the sequential decline in margins linked to the domestic mix, domestic-international mix. But given the sharper domestic growth in this this quarter, I was just a bit surprised with the sequential decline in gross margins. Was it the case that ARV sales were higher in Q4 as well?
So not just ARV, I think what happens in some of the emerging markets, there are the business mix, right? There's some distribution business, some third-party business, where your GCs will be lower, but you don't have a SG&A, big SG&A. So that product mix plays out in 4Q.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gagan from Ask Investments Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Sir, I would request you to please use your handset.
Okay. Yeah, is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Gagan.
So on your Canada sales for the fourth quarter, it's dipped sequentially from 352 crores to 310 crores. Is it just a quarterly phenomenon and not much to read in it?
Yeah, so Canada, I think we had mentioned last quarter also that you have to, last quarter was a bit heavy because there was some sales which got preponed booking. So that impacted in 4Q. I think what you mentioned is if you look at for the full year, the base business plans to grow in mid to high teens for us in the FY25.
Okay. When you say base business, you mean both your entities together?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And is it possible to give the PCPM for the quarter and, compare it with the third quarter of the year and fourth quarter of the previous year?
Sure. For the quarter, we were at 6.3. Last quarter, it was 6.1 in 3Q. Last year, same quarter, we were at
5.4. Right. And is it also possible to further sort of enumerate, while you mentioned higher growth in your exports, is it possible to give some flavor of, how it splits up between ROW, EU and Canada in terms of growth for FY 2026?
So I think Europe, what we'll be targeting is around a high single digits. Canada, as I said, we continue to aspire to grow in your teens level. Emerging markets is where we see the substantial growth of closer to 20% odd.
Okay, but that should be driven more by your non-ARV piece, going ahead.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, okay. And, for the year, your operating cash flows are lower compared to last year, despite a fairly strong growth. Can you perhaps explain, a little, you know, more there?
Yeah, you see, the Sanofi business and Haier business, our working capital requirements went up, and that's the reason you see the operating cash flows being a little lower.
Okay. And going ahead, in terms of working capital, you indicated it was fairly stable, so I was just wondering.
Yeah. So it was from 96, it's gone to 98 days, but the business has also grown. So in value terms, you know, the working capital value has gone up.
Yeah, I get that. I get the absolute value, you know, thing. But is working capital likely to remain stable, or because, you know, working capital might be different in the export markets compared to the domestic market, are we therefore looking at FY 2026 being a year where working capital in days would perhaps rise?
No, it would be the same or similar, about 98-100 days is what we're looking at.
98-100 days. Right. Yeah, thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval from Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know, what are you guys doing in the ADC area? And, do we have the tech or, we'll be relying on some partnerships? What will be the key geographies? And, in next 2 years, are there key molecules that are nearing patent expiry in any of the key markets? That's my first question.
Sure. Hi, this is Samit. So specifically talking about ADC, I think, you know, this is the first opportunity for us in terms of real collaboration between our biologics arm and the small molecules, given that, you know, we start off with an antibody that will be, you know, made by Genova, and then have the linker and payload from the chemistry side. So in that context, we are already evaluating the landscape and, you know, doing some preliminary trial work. As and when we develop the product, it'll definitely be something that we will be looking at global in the sense of India plus emerging markets, because that's the kind of opportunity we see here. And, the IP landscape in this context is quite open. It's not a biosimilar we are looking at. This will be more where we will have some kind of our own IP protection through a novel linker.
The development will require clinical trials, right?
Absolutely. It will require, in my understanding, phase 1, 2, and 3. And here, you know, we are evaluating some collaboration opportunities as well, and also looking at outsourcing some of the elements of the entire clinical pathway.
Okay, got it. And possible to quantify our ARV sales in FY 2025? And within the segment, do you see any risk in a 3- to 5-year period because of, you know, launch of new molecules coming up in emerging market?
So I'll just answer on the split. So about roughly half of our rest of the world sales is ARV. Samit, you want to talk about the product pipe?
Sure. I think, you know, if at all the treatment paradigm changes over the next 2-5 years, which is likely, I think we are best positioned because of the fact that we are one of the only 6 licensees for lenacapavir. So eventually, if, you know, the treatment shifts from a TLD to lenacapavir, I think we will have the opportunity to encash on both.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, we'll be vertically integrated on lenacapavir, and the fact that this may be prescribed prophylactically as well gives us a huge advantage, and so we think we're well positioned even for the medium term on the ARV segment.
And I believe unlike TLD, Lena Kapoor should be profitable, I believe, because there will not be very many players going forward.
Makes sense. Last question, you know, for past 2 years, I've seen a trend where 1Q is registering best gross margin and over the quarter, it's in a declining trend. So, what's been the reason behind it, and do you expect there's some seasonality, or it was because of various different portfolio mix and there's no particular trend?
Yeah, I think our international business does tend to be a little bit more back-ended towards the year. And so to that extent, particularly as Canada has continued to scale aggressively, and when we look at even some of the emerging parts of the business, I think international business as a whole vis-a-vis domestic market, and then within that, some of these segments, that's why you see a little bit of this mix issue happening as you go through the four quarters. But beyond that, nothing else.
So I think it depends on the product mix. So that's why I said it. I think GCs you probably look at for the full year, because between quarters, depending on what product mix happens in a quarter, there will be variations there.
Okay. And just on the GC, you know, oil prices have gone down quite materially. Many of the raw materials are, you know, multiple derivatives of these crude products. So are we seeing some, you know, moderation in raw material prices or there's no impact?
No, I think, you know, except for some of the solvents, we are not seeing crude prices impacting anything. Hopefully it does, you know, help us with some of our logistics costs, which have really shot up over the last 4 or 5 years. But in RMs per se, barring few solvents, we are not really seeing that impact happening.
Okay, thank you. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from OrbiMed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just first question was again on EDC side.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
You on the handset. Can you hear me?
Yes, so much better now. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, just on the ADC side, if you could elaborate, what is the, I know you talked about some IP-based linker, but is there like a full library or suite of products that you are planning under Genova and MCure?
No, it'll be a very calibrated approach. I think at least initially, it'll be a very low-risk strategy in terms of choosing an antibody and a payload which is already tested, which is why I said the IP will come through the linker. And also in terms of payload, you know, most of the people are using derivatives of certain approved molecules. So that's the pathway we will follow as well. And once we have product in market, that's when I think we'll go a little more aggressive in creating, like you're mentioning, a library of products there.
And you are doing conjugation yourself as well?
Sorry, I don't understand.
I'm sorry, could you just repeat that question?
Sorry, I was asking, are you doing conjugation as well of antibody to the payload linker?
Oh, absolutely. The entire, you know, integration will be in-house, starting with the antibody, the linker, the payload, as well as the conjugation and achieving the, you know, desired DAR.
Okay, okay. And this asparaginase product you mentioned last time also, the recombinant one, is it different from Pega asparaginase? Because that is already launched, right?
Yes, so I'll just give you some insight there. The natural product that comes from China is L-asparaginase. Today, the product that is in market is the pegylated version of L-asparaginase. However, that is the second line treatment in pediatric ALL. The first line continues to be L-asparaginase, and that's the one which has severe quality issues. That's the one we have made into recombinant. So recombinant asparaginase will be the first line, and second line will continue to be the PEG L-asparaginase.
Okay, and this will be the first, you will be the only player. You don't see any competition here?
Not in the recombinant. Right now, at least from whatever publicly available data, on SEC or CDSCO, looks like on the recombinant, we are the only filers. Of course, globally, Spectrila is the brand, which is from MedAg Germany, and our bio studies have been performed against that product.
But given the currently the market, I don't know the market. What is the market for asparaginase right now in India?
So a couple of things. There's both asparaginase usage happening in India, but this asparaginase API, after being imported from China, is being formulated and supplied to multiple countries. So totally that market in our estimate between India and these exports could be in the range of 100 crores.
150 CR.
100 to 150 CR is the estimate that we see from export data and Indian
data. But at the same time, you know, a lot of this formulated asparaginase is being exported to emerging markets. And that's where, you know, sending a recombinant molecule, which is technically and qualitatively much better than what is going right now, should help us going forward.
Understood. And just a bit on the domestic side, I know MQ6 is very, it's not that old a subsidiary right now, but can you talk about how many portfolios will come under it in terms of number of products and how much percentage is actually cosmetic derm?
You know, this is a fledgling company. We started really the operations only in the month of January. I mean, but I must tell you, you know, that the chief executive that we have, he comes, you know, from great background. And to be honest with you, when I started this division, I didn't know that as far as derma market is concerned, it consists of so many things. My understanding was, you know, that derma is concerned, typically, you know, what we promote to the dermatologist, and that's where, you know, we talk about atopic dermatitis or for that matter, you know, fungal infection, alopecia and so forth and so on. But now I understand, you know, there is something much beyond that, like cosmetology is doing fabulously well. Then even for that matter, you know, we also have products, you know, for geriatric or even for that matter, you know, products which are required for anti-pollution. And all these areas, you know, we are entering. And with Italian collaboration, we have very recently launched, you know, about which I spoke. That is PRX Plus. The PRX Plus, you know, has been launched, and only a couple of days back, you know, I presentation from my chief executive. This particular product, you know, is for skin tightening. And, you know, for skin tightening, you know, the conventional treatment is, not conventional, people use Botox and their injections and all these things that are required to be given. And this particular product, you know, is immensely liked, you know, by the dermatologist, and we launched only a month back. And we have almost, you know, 290 doctors who have started prescribing this particular product. And this is essentially coming in the field of cosmetology. So this is just one example I am giving you. So to that extent, you know, we as a company, we are very excited about the foray in the dermatology. And a lot of things, you know, lots of things will happen going forward.
Yeah, in terms of launches, I think if you, the number of SKUs will be much higher. But we already have about 8 brands, and there'll be another 6 in the pipeline which will come over the next 12 months.
And these 8 that we are talking have just recently been launched. So it's a fairly robust portfolio for the next fiscal year.
One of the product, you know, that we launched, though, that is also with new technology, you know, for acne. This is a technology with Microsphere. And this is a product, you know, which is significantly better than the existing products. That is for acne, then acne moisturizer, then acne spot remover, all these things, you know, that we are doing.
Yeah. And in terms of cosmoderma versus prescription, I think it will be an equal split between the two.
Equally split, okay. And just also on the split across therapies, if I see, so 3-4 years down the line, do you think the contribution from HIV and iron products, that should significantly change and derma and other therapy should increase?
I think HIV will come down significantly. So as I think some of the CNS, derma, ophthalm come in, iron will see a decrease. But even in iron, I think we see a significant growth potential still.
I think iron as a percent will go down because others grow, but in absolute numbers, we still see huge growth potential in iron.
Would you like to say something, Namita, or iron? Because, you know, since you are promoting, yeah, would like to hear from you.
I mean, 57% women are anemic and 30% men are anemic. So there is a huge potential in terms of just people who are not aware that they need it. So I think the market will continue to grow. But like we mentioned earlier, we are also increasing our presence in menopause, PCOS and endometriosis, which are three areas that are rapidly growing. So it will be a two-pronged strategy of whatever is big, make it bigger, and then also have some exciting new launches in these progressive markets.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Gagan from Ask Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. The first one is on debt. Do we see, to what scale do we see debt reduction in 26? And, barring inorganics, do we see, becoming debt-free by close of the financial year 26?
Yeah, we probably see being debt-free by the end of financial year 26.
Right. And in terms of, your CapEx, is it possible to enumerate the budget for 26 and 27, if that's also possible?
Yeah, I think we've historically guided to probably in the range of about 350 CR. And I think we'll be somewhere in that range, give or take, 25, 50 crores.
Right. And also, you in the last quarter talked of quite a few in-licensing programs which might come to fruition in a short term. Any further elaboration on any of these? If they are due in FY26 and in which areas?
So we had the Emcutix, the PRX Plus, which we launched, is one of those in-license products that we have. Others, I don't think there's anything we can talk about.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Alankar Karuti from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Rishbhai, you mentioned about being well on track to be in the first wave of launches for semaglutide in India. Given that you are vertically integrated here, does it mean that this confidence is coming basis the progress on the trials? I'm just asking this because we hear mixed feedback about the difficulty in clearing the trials even in India.
I will ask Samit to take that question.
No, absolutely. I think in terms of the timelines on the trials, we are on track. We also are quietly confident about, the probability of success on these trials. I think one uncontrollable is, the speed of regulatory clearance. And that's something we really need to make sure goes as per plan to be able to be in this first wave. But at least whatever is under our control in terms of the trial timelines as well as probability of success, we think, we have the molecule well understood.
And have we filed in Canada yet?
Not yet, but that is actively on the cards.
Okay. The second question was, if you look at the ex-ARV ROW sales growth, assuming ARV was half of the ROW sales in FY25, the ex-ARV growth seems to be in low single digits. Now, you spoke about strong growth in ROW in FY26 and possibly the margin guidance also alludes to a lower ARV mix in FY26. So, one is, what drove the relatively lower growth ex-ARV in ROW in FY25 and what will change secondly in FY26?
So, ex-ARV growth was in teens, not in single digits. For us in FY25. I think going forward in terms where we have a lot more confidence in terms of the visibility for the product launch approvals that we are getting for some of our differentiated products like amphotericin B or even some of the biosimilars. So it is led by those approvals going through.
Okay. What was the ARV sales number in FY24 in ROW?
ARV would have been just given. Would have been less than 40%, so around 40% or 40, slightly higher than 40%.
Okay. The other question was on this acquisition, recent acquisition of Manx. Any clarification on the size as well as the margin profile of this asset?
Yeah. So we're expecting this year to have sales close to $15 million to begin with. And we have a portfolio of about 100 molecules which we have acquired.
So out of that portfolio that we acquired, there's obviously at least about 40% or so that are already, were already commercial molecules and approved. So that's where we're confident about the sales emanating from these ongoing sort of molecules, where we, even as part of the transaction, took on some component of inventory, and then we'll continue in terms of selling those products. And then I think what's exciting is for our ability to take some of the yet-to-be-approved molecules and be able to commercialize those as well going forward.
Understood. And what is the margin profile of Manx at the moment?
So we, again, so I mean, we acquired the entire portfolio. We think that that'll give us reasonably good EBITDA margins in line with what we would be expecting for the overall Europe portfolio.
Got it. One final question. What has been the organic growth in Canada in FY25?
It would have been about mid to high teens.
Understood. Yeah, very helpful. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investments Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So you talked about growing the turnover in the current year, 25-26, by about 13-14%. More at the, hopefully more at the higher end, and the improvement of margins by about 150 basis points, of which about 19.5% for the year gone by to about 21%. Both on the top line as well as on the margin improvement, is the year following also we have some such ambition, or this is confined only for the current year, 25-26?
Yeah, I just want to make one small correction. Our full year
10,000 crore turnover in 26-27?
So I just want to make one small correction to your question, and then I'll take the question. I think our full year EBITDA margins was closer to 18.5, not 19.5, as you mentioned. And that's, if you include other income, then yes, you get closer to 19.5. And so you're right that the 150 basis points that we are guiding to is on top of that number. So in that range of 20 to 21%, depending on whether you include the other income or not. When it comes to looking at more of a 2 to 3 year out outlook, you know, we fully appreciate and understand that when you look at some of the peers in the industry, we still feel that we are have further room to improve on the margin aspects of the business, and there's a lot of efforts, as I mentioned, being put on that, and we firmly believe that as the business continues to grow, there's no reason why we should not continue to see enhanced margin profile even 2 to 3 years out. I think in the past, we've also guided to, you know, over a 3 to 4 year period, probably a 300-400 basis point sort of improvement in the margin profile of the business. While I don't want to give any specific number, but suffice it to say that off of our exit, if we aspire to grow 13 or 14% next year and would still have ambitions to grow double digits organically the year after, and of course we're going to continue to look for, you know, M&A opportunities and in-licensing opportunities, so we're very, very bullish about crossing certain milestones a couple of years out.
So, which would mean that this 13 to 14% growth that you outlined for the current year FY26, similar journey should be expected for 26-27. And whether margins will improve by 150 basis points or not, like in the FY26, but some further improvement in margins is what you are envisaging for the year going ahead.
So I think directionally, I would agree with that. However, I think let's go through the course of the year, and we'll certainly continue to give, you know, updated guidance to go forward.
As I mentioned in my opening remarks, you know, we are long-term players. We are committed to creating, you know, great value for the shareholders the next 5 years, but now, you know, we are essentially focused on the current year. So to that extent, you know, as I mentioned in my earlier remarks, the entire emphasis will be on execution to ensure, you know, that whatever guidance we are giving in terms of 13-14% by the way of growth and 150 points, you know, increase in EBITDA, that's what, you know, we are committed to. So it's going to be a mix of short-term and mid-term and long-term. But long-term, of course, the aspirations are there to become get into a big league.
I think we have time for probably one or maximum two more questions.
Yeah, only just one last point there is, since on all key competitive, you know, factors or aspects, you would agree that MKOR is still behind some of the other firms, and therefore we need to try harder, I would say.
Yeah, so that, as I mentioned, I think it's obviously, if you look at the various components of our business mix, the endeavor is always to get, you know, maximize the potential of each of the different segments. And certainly, you know, along with growth, the margin expansion is very much on top of the senior management's, you know, minds. I think we can move on.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Dhaval from Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just one doubt. We have recently set up this MKOR Generics Private Limited. What is that? Is it about entering trade generics or is it something else?
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, we've made a limited beginning, but obviously that with the trade generics, the profile of that business, we feel that it's important to have that housed in a separate entity with a separate team, obviously has its own channel. And so we'll have a very, very calibrated approach, but certainly we are also going to be present in a limited way in the trade generics segment as well.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Piyush Nahar for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining today's investor call. If any of your queries still remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of MKOR Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.